This morning, I get to share a little bit with you all on the matter of preaching the gospel. So, real fast, maybe if we can start, if everybody could open their Bibles, I just want to enjoy two verses together. So, if we can, maybe let's all turn to Matthew 28:19. And when you all have it, we'll go ahead and read it. Amen. Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, and then real fast, if we can turn to Mark 16:15. Okay. And he said to them, go
into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation.
Amen. So, today we get to talk about picking up the burden to preach the gospel. So in your books, I think it's page 51, which is under morning session 2. So these two verses, I just want to highlight, what is the first word in both of those verses that the Lord says? Go! Okay? For preaching the gospel, the first thing that the Lord says to do is to go.
Amen.
You can't preach the gospel without going to someone.
Amen.
Even you can't have received the gospel without someone going to you.
Amen.
All of us are here because at some point in our lives, someone took this word, heard the Lord, and went.
Amen.
So we all need to realize this is the Lord's commission to all the believers.
Amen.
He wants all of us to go. Okay? This is the Lord's commission in the Bible. So maybe real fast, if we can all read Roman numeral 1 together. Preaching the gospel is the greatest commission in the Bible.
And it is the Lord's greatest charge to us.
Amen. It is the Lord's greatest charge to us. None of us are excluded. Myself in particular. We all are debtors of the gospel even. You've received it, and now you should be the ones going out to speak it. Even as our brother Leland shared this morning, we've received the life, the eternal life, the life that's really life. But what's particular is this life overflows. When you enjoy this life, it doesn't just stay there. You know, when I first received the Lord, I was at Wright State University. And I remember for the first 2 years, as I was just starting to be around the brothers there, I would enjoy the Lord before I went to campus. I didn't even know that's what was happening, but I'd be happy as I was walking onto campus. And as I'd walk by students walking to the parking lot, I would just see them and I would want to speak to them. It wasn't that somebody had told me that I should speak to anybody. It's the life. It's the Lord touching you to go and speak to your fellow man. Even what is the Lord's heart for man? The Bible says God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. We should have the same heart. So maybe, brothers, if we can all go ahead and read Roman numeral 2 together. Every believer must bear the responsibility of the gospel. How many believers? Every believer. This includes each one of us. So, as God's children, we should be one with our Father in His love for the sinners. We need to have whenever a believer draws near to the Lord, he has the sense that he owes people the gospel, that he is a debtor of the gospel. So, can anyone raise their hand and say that they would be here even if they hadn't heard the gospel? I don't think there's a single one of us who can say, if I'd never heard the gospel, I would be here right now. You know, we all have been brought here because this is the Lord's arrangement. He wanted to speak to us. So whether it's through our parents, through a classmate, through a random person who just handed you a tract, you know, we've all had our own unique experience where the Lord, in his desire to touch you, was able to have a way. Now, the Lord wants to touch others.
Amen.
But he doesn't just speak. He's not a booming voice in the clouds. He works through man. But he needs us to cooperate. Even the Lord in his humanity, when he was on the earth, didn't wait for people to come to him. Case after case, as you read through the Gospels, the Lord went. We need the same heart to go to our fellow man.
Amen.
If we have a heart for the Lord, we will sense the distress of not preaching the gospel. However, if we're willing to preach the gospel, we will receive a reward for the Lord. Now, I just want to point out the wording here. We will sense the distress of not preaching the gospel. And I don't know if this is everybody's experience, but my experience, a lot of the time, when I get together with somebody and they're like, hey, let's go preach the gospel, I'm distressing in preaching the gospel. I don't want to preach the gospel. But why is that? It's because I haven't been touching the Lord. When we touch the Lord, when we enjoy the Lord, it isn't that we distress in preaching the gospel. We distress in not preaching the gospel. We have a man in us, the Lord Jesus, who wants to speak to man. And he will touch us and bother us until we go and speak. Now, it is wrong for us to say that it is not convenient, that it is not the right time, or that we are too busy to preach the gospel. We need to preach the gospel in season and out of season. Now, if I'm honest, it's very hard to speak the gospel in season and out of season. There's many times, you know, even my parents aren't believers. And there have been times where the Lord has bothered me to speak something to my mom. But I'm not ready. It is out of season for me. But we all have to learn how to speak the gospel even when we aren't prepared. Now maybe, sisters, can we read Roman numeral 3? Amen. We need to learn to be burdened with the loving concern of God's heart. Okay, John 3:16, I think we can all probably recite this from memory. God so loved the world that he gave up his... Sorry. God, amen, sorry. God so loved the world that he gave up his only begotten Son. And children perish, but will have eternal life. Amen. So God so loved the world. This is our God's heart. But how do you receive this heart? That really, today, this is what we want to see, is picking up the burden. It's not going out and doing, but it's receiving. It's picking up. It's taking it as your own. But you can't do that without touching the Lord. Without touching the Lord, you will never pick up this burden in a good way. You may go out and speak to some, but it won't prevail. Even if you don't have a concern for the person you're speaking to, they can sense it. Even all of us can probably testify that there are times people have spoken something hoping that it would have a good reaction in us, that it would cause us to love the Lord, but their concern wasn't with us. Maybe they were just trying to do other things, but when we have a loving concern for the person we're speaking to, they can sense it. You know. Even one thing with a kid, with a young child, they always know who loves them. Man knows who loves him. But to get this love, we have to come to the Father. It is Father's loving heart for man. Let's all read A. We as children should be one with our Father in his love for sinners. We need to have a loving concern for the salvation of sinners. Okay? And then B says, How fruitful we are does not depend upon what we are able to do, but on whether we have an intimate concern for others. And the verse reference here for 1 Corinthians is speaking about clanging brass and the sounding of cymbals because the believer doesn't have love. We can do anything, but if we do not have love, it will not be prevailing. We need the Lord's loving heart. Then Roman numerals, or letter C, God's love motivates us, his children, to love people without any discrimination. Amen. And then D, we need to care for people with the loving and forgiving heart of our Father, God, and the shepherding and seeking spirit of our Savior Christ. And here, in Luke 15, we see first the Son as the shepherd, going after the lost sheep and laying him on his shoulders, showing God's loving heart in the Son for man. But then in Luke 15, in the story of the prodigal son, we see something unique. Even though the son has taken his inheritance and squandered it, not on good things, not on something that's okay, but on living dissolutely, on sinful things. But while he's doing that, the Lord, or God, the Father, was waiting for him. And we see that when the son finally turned, the father was there watching. And when he saw the turn, he ran to the son. That's our Father's heart for man. Amen. So we need this loving heart for man.
Amen.
Amen.
Is this on? Yes, how about we all turn to John 4, 435. Let's read that with a strong spirit. How do they look? Wow. So let me introduce myself. My name is Falan Mala. I am from Newington, Connecticut. And I'm glad to be here. Amen. Speaking to all the students. Amen. Because the fields are white. Amen. Let's read Roman numeral 4 together. Cheers. Wow, so your college years are a unique time not to go out and party. Praise the Lord, doesn't say that. Right? But an opportunity. Who loves the word opportunity in their life? You love that, right? Here we go. I have an opportunity for this. I have an opportunity to pick any major I want. Right? Nobody goes to college and says, you need to do this. You have every opportunity to pick any major. You have every opportunity to pick any friends you want. Think about that. Thousands of kids. I don't want him. I want him. I don't want this professor. Well, you don't have a chance to professor in certain classes. But this is opportunity for what? For the young people. Who here is young? Actually, who here is old? I just looked at this size. It's okay. It's okay. We love the brothers though, right? We need the older brothers. I sit on that side too. So I sit on that side too. But to preach the gospel... Wow. Underline this, highlight this, do something in this Roman number 4. Make sure you go over this. Right? Opportunity for you guys to preach the gospel. You know, as believers, you guys have so many rights and privileges. You know that? You are co-heirs of the firstborn. And I think a lot of us from this past recent conference or training we've been through, there's three things. You get a double portion. And now, come to the good part with this message. You're a priest of God. Wow, you're a priest. That's your duty. That's your commission. That's your right to go out and bring what? God to people. Isn't that amazing? How many people can say, I have this commission to bring God to you? Unbelievers don't have that. They don't have a commission from God. Oh my goodness, you have a commission from God. When you start to think about it, you're like, this is the greatest commission ever. And how does this relate to the title? The humanity of Jesus, was he not a man? Did he not preach the gospel? So that's what you do. Right? That's what he did. That's what the human like did. He preached the gospel. He didn't come to say, let me show you how great a human being should be, right? Don't argue with people. Don't listen to your parents. He did that, right? Be meek. There's a verse you memorize. I am what? I am meek and lowly in heart. But he also preached the gospel. Amen. That's the humanity of Jesus. That's what we need to get inside of us. That's his humanity, is to preach the gospel. You know, we need to have such a heart, as our brother just said. When you see an unbeliever, you know what they don't know? That they're already on fire. Do you realize that? As in, they're already burning. Think about that. Their destiny is like a fire. They don't even know it. They walk around, oh, life is great. You're like, you're on fire, man. You're going to burn. You don't even know it. Those nice clothes, it doesn't matter. That's why, that's our commission. We need to have this kind of, why do you think the Lord died? He realized all humanity's destiny is the lake of fire if they don't receive the eternal life. What a huge commission he had. Because if you don't like somebody, you're like, let them burn a little more. But the Lord said, no, right? Because whose will was it? He did, whose will? So if he's doing the Father's will, whose will are you doing? It's not a trick question. So you're doing the Father's will also. Amen. So this is amazing for us to see here, right? They're already burning and they don't even know it. And we are priests. That is our commission. We need to go out and preach the gospel. Okay, let's read A real quick all together. This sounds good, but I have a brother to share 1 minute to give a good testimony. David, can you share for 1 minute? One, two, yeah, go ahead. Just speak. Speak, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. So I'm going to be a junior. I'm sitting at UC Berkeley in California. Anyways, I guess I just wanted to share this really a special joy of being the triune God to man.
Amen. Yes.
Being man to the triune God.
Yeah. Amen.
And just appreciate a few points, just that every man needs the triune God. I just appreciate it. So many people have so many different defenses of this and that, but everyone's unique solution is just Christ.
Amen.
And I felt like, anyways, going in as a freshman, I didn't have that much burden, you know, preaching the gospel or speaking to man. But the remedy to that is just to go out.
Yes.
When you go out and you begin speaking to man, there's something that wells up within you when you start to realize, I'm saving these people from being on fire.
Amen.
And anyways, I guess the second point is just that it's really good to particularly target freshmen.
Yes, amen.
Especially at Berkeley. Anyways, we have this special famous place called Sproul Plaza where people just pass out a bunch of tracts.
Wow.
So by the time you're a senior, you're just completely jaded to this type of track passing. So you don't even look at these tracks anymore. But these freshmen who come in, they're just open and willing to take these tracks.
Wow.
And anyways, at some of our freshman orientations, we've over the summer, we've already received more than 120 freshman contacts.
Hallelujah.
And anyways, this is like a phenomenal number of contacts coming in just through the summer. So, and these are all freshman students. So I guess I'm just impressed that these freshmen are really open to the gospel.
Amen.
They haven't been jaded yet, and they're just open to receive whatever we're willing to speak to them.
Yes.
Particularly when we minister the Christ to them, they're just open. They really do receive it.
Yes.
So anyways, I just want to support Brother Philon sharing.
Amen. So this is not a doctrine only.
Amen.
Right, don't just read it and say, this is not doable. It's doable. Amen. Let's all read B together. Yep.
People, especially college freshmen, are not occupied. They are not settled yet and do not know the direction of their life. So it is easy for them to have a change in mind.
Who here are going into their freshman year? All right. Who here was a freshman? All right, it's a trick question. Remember back when you were a freshman, or those going in, aren't you just open to college life? Right? This is it. I'm on my own. Goodbye, mom and dad. Right? I'm 18. 18. Praise the Lord, 18. Everything, right? You want this. You know, people pass out stuff. You take everything, right? Oh, yeah. Karate club. I don't know anything, but I'll take that. Car club. I don't even have a car. Give me all. That's the same thing with the gospel. You know what we all want? We all want companionship. We all want friends to hang out with. Because we all want to be cared for. We all want to be loved. Right? We want someone to take care of us. And we want to take care of others. Isn't that in us? And we realize the real family life is the church life. Don't you want to bring them in? Don't you want to show them the real joy? You know, when they open, this is what you need, bro. This is what you need. Hey, man, listen to this. So this is what you realize. They are so open. And whatever they believe in high school could get changed on a dime when they come to college. If they're around people who have the same kind of thinking about the Lord, they will get infused with life. Okay, now let's receive together. How many are church kids? Wow. So this is definitely directs to you. Okay, Minnie. Minnie is a church kid. And she's going to confirm this real quick.
Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. So my name is Minnie, and I was just a freshman at the University of Connecticut. And I speak especially to the upcoming freshmen. There's such an open door. I'm not going to lie, as a church kid, I did not preach the gospel. So for me, Summer School of Truth was the one time a year that I went to go preach the gospel. So it was an event for me. However, once I went to college, it was so open, like to the point where if you just said, hey, like, oh, do you want to hang out? Now so I have to go to a Bible study. Oh, what's that? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, they're asking me a question. I have to answer them. That was an interesting time. But it's just, they're so open, and because they're so open, they're willing to say, hey, can I come with you one day? Oh, okay, wow. Sure. Like, you don't even have to invite them. They're willing to come with you. I was just suddenly struck with so many gospel friends, and all of them are just, they're so open and so willing to just even try out a little bit. And so, because they're so open, though, there are so many other things that are trying to get their attention. And so, especially in the first week or in the first month, the friends that you make as freshmen, these are going to be the ones that are going to be the friends for the rest of your college career. And so, these are the ones that you have to be so burdened for. And so, you have to be willing to go and contact them.
Yes.
This is an exercise. It's going to be a little bit difficult, but you just have to lose faith. Like, don't worry about other people judging you, but the Lord in you will want to preach the gospel so much. Amen.
Amen. Just do that real quick. So how many here got gained off the campus? Raise your hand, off the campus. Look at that. If every person here gains one person, every year, this place will be packed.
Yeah, right.
We couldn't even hold this. We might make two, right? College trainings. Brother Andrew's like, oh. Yes, amen. So do you see this? If you get one for your whole 4 years in college, that's huge. What an increase.
Amen.
Let me tell you, I didn't get saved in college. I got saved at 29 years old. You think it's easy to give the gospel to somebody who's my age? Settle and beyond occupied? They thought I was crazy. You know what? You have to be crazy to preach the gospel. You have to be crazy. You have to lose your face. You know, I made fun of Christians forever. Oh my goodness. And then I got saved. Look at now I'm standing for them. And then they made fun of me some more. But I didn't care. Because something in me says you need to speak to them.
Amen.
They are burning. You have the greatest thing. You need to give it to them. And you know what my thought was? These are my closest friends. 15, 16 years, they're going to say yes. They said no. I said, my family's going to say yes. They kicked me out the house. But I was thick-skinned. Well, I didn't live with it. I just went to visit. They kicked me out when I went to visit. I was already... But they didn't want me there during that time. So they kicked us out. But the whole point is, it's harder when you try to preach to somebody older. All the brothers would tell you that. The older brothers. They know. They've been through it. But in college, your friends have to listen to you. Because they probably are in your dorm room. They're in your class every day. And it's not a matter of just saying, I need to give you something. It's a matter, as Minnie says, just talk to them what you do. If you're in the church, I say, what are you doing? I'm going to the meeting. Eventually you say, what is that? Why are you always there? It's because it's the greatest joy on earth, right? What a song. It's the greatest joy on earth. So, did we read D yet? Let's read D. Well, what about my study? Yes, study. Study hard. Get A's. You should all have 4.0s. And then you should get your master's. And then maybe your doctor's. And then when you get that, you throw it all away. No, that's not what it means. But that's not what you live for. That's not what you live for. You know, so we realize, right? When you go out and preach, you can't be occupied for that time. There's many things. And students, believe me, you don't have... Oh, my goodness. There's no problem, students. You think it's a lot now. Oh, my goodness. If I could go back there. I wish I was saving college. I would preach. I'd be up there every day. Because when you go out to preach, you have to realize, I have work and everything. But you say, Lord, now's not the time to worry about that. Say, Lord, let me forget about my school right now. Let me forget about this. Because my goal is to preach the gospel right now. We have to be saved first before we go save somebody else. You try to preach the gospel when you're angry? You know what happens? They get angry more than you because you're like, why don't you want to receive? I don't know. What's your problem? And then they're like, this is the worst. You're the worst Christian ever. Because you didn't clear it with the Lord yet, right? You didn't go to the Lord first. You didn't pray enough first. Prayer is what saves them. Prayer is what saves them. Lord, how about a new one? How about somebody to talk to today, Lord? Every day, Lord, how about somebody? How about a new one? And then finally, one day, somebody's like, I've been waiting for you to come talk to me. That is the gospel, right? That is the burden. Don't be like those evil and slothful slaves, burying their talents in the ground. They were all saved. All those slaves, they're all saved people. But what did they do? What was that last one, right? He said, yeah, I'll just leave it right here. Leave it on the ground, because when the Lord comes back, he gets one back. He doesn't want one. He wants at least two if he gave you one. Who here has a talent? Who here does not have a talent? That's right. We all have a talent. Can you not tell somebody that you believe in the Lord? Yes. Can you not tell somebody, I found the greatest thing in the whole world. I found the only person that always loves me. I found the only person that I will always love. They say, who's that? Jesus Christ. And he wants to come inside of you and live in you. So these are a big thing for us to see. And then finally, Romans 5. Let's read that together.
He needs to pick up the burden to preach the gospel, not merely to win souls, but to gain more members for the building up of the body.
Right. We have to realize in Matthew, the Lord says you need to preach the kingdom gospel. The kingdom gospel. When we save someone, don't say, oh, I saved them, and then you just let them die. We have to preach the gospel, and then we have to take care of them. Because our goal is to build up the body of Christ. That's huge, right? It's sad, because I have two kids. I have one that's 3 months now. And we say, oh, she's so cute. Just leave her alone, honey. We have to take care of her, right? We got to feed her. We got to nourish her. But we ourselves have to know how to do that. So when we go out with the gospel, we need to have something of Christ in us to give to others. That's what morning revival is for. You got something of Christ that morning. Give that to somebody. It could be a little tidbit. It could be a lot. That's what they need. How many people ever preach the gospel when they go to the stores? Cashier. Yes. I do it all the time. The Lord says, say something. I'm like, oh, Lord, I got to get home. Say something. Oh, Lord, hey, you know. Even as a line, I still say, you know why my day is great? And I'm walking away because I have the Lord Jesus in me. And then she's still scared. I was like, so you can get the Lord in you too. But I can't leave because the Lord is condemning me for not speaking. That's a real strong thing, right? We will sense the distress of not preaching the gospel. That is the feeling we should all have. It should be distress. So I'm going to stop right now because I want you guys to share. I want you guys to overflow. I want you guys to make a consecration for this term. So how about we read the focus and then we can come up to share.